Welcome to the Rom-Com Games, a championship podcast.
Our season starts with 16 incredible,
or not so incredible,
rom-coms, with one movie being eliminated each episode.
Which rom-com will be the winner? Well, that's up to us, your hosts, Ruth
and Kristen.
So let's get started.
Today's movies are 500 Days of Summer and 2 Weeks Notice.
Welcome back. It's a new year, new you, maybe? Same podcast, but I think we're bringing a special sort of energy into 2022. And that energy is continued reverence for rom-coms, but in like a fun, sort of like dialed up to 200 sort of way. Do you feel that, Kristen?
So you're saying that everything is different, but it's the same.
That's 100% what I'm saying.
So new year, new us, but everything is not changing.
But same us,
mm-hmm.
But like new vibes,
mm-hmm.
You know?
New vibes that are very similar to last year.
Right. It's kind of like when a cereal company does like a rebrand.
I definitely thought you were going to say serial killer, but go on.
It's kind of like when a serial killer kills a new person, but they use the same method.
Yeah.
Like you're like new year, but same you, you know?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. New victim, same you. Serial killers are so boring. Why don't they mix it up?
Well, because they love to leave a calling card. If I was a serial killer, and I'm not, I'm going to put that out there. I am not. I try to stick to like 1 to 2 max. But
yeah,
the ones who leave the calling card, I don't get it. Like, because like, don't you want to get away with it? And, like, not leave a calling card?
You know, I'm going to assume that people who serially kill, we don't really get them. I think it's a little different than you and I.
I think there's literally a whole show about this on Netflix called Mindhunter. And I could only watch an episode or two because I got too creeped out.
No gracias. Yeah. Don't worry, you guys. This is not new year, new true crime podcast.
Yeah.
We would never do you like that.
We can't. I don't even listen to them myself. They're too gory.
And also too real.
Yeah.
Like fictional crime? Okay. Real crime? No. More like real love.
That's fictional.
That's not real. Do I want to watch a documentary of people falling in love? I surely do not. But I do want to continue into 2022 watching some of the beautiful fictional love that we got to see in today's episode. So we have an odd pairing today. What's the category that we're looking at, Kristen?
The category for today is workplace romance.
Yeah, which is a staple of the rom-com genre, it feels like. And I don't remember how we ended up choosing these two movies, but now looking at them, they are weird together. One of them very much revolves around the workplace. The other one, the workplace, is kind of like incidental.
Yes. But they still met and fell in love and found love in a hopeless place, aka the office.
Aka corporate environment.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. It is interesting because rom-coms set in the workplace, you would expect them to be like the most realistic because that's one of the most common ways, I feel like, to have a rom-com type environment in actual real life, right?
Mm-hmm.
Is to meet somebody at work. But I don't feel like either of these two movies were the most realistic.
Have you fallen in love at work?
Well, I guess you'll never know. I haven't dated anyone that I worked with, so if I did, I guess it was one-sided.
Actually, that's a lie. You have dated someone you've worked with.
Who?
Camp romance.
Oh my gosh. Okay, if you've ever been to summer camp or worked at summer camp or watched a movie about summer camp, you know that it doesn't count as a real relationship if you dated at camp because it's just the horniest, most distracted place full of pent-up young people who have to stare at the same 60 people all day long and they convince themselves that they're in love with each other. Although, you know what? I know like 4 couples that met at camp and are still successfully married, so props to them.
I don't want you to diminish the love that you had at camp. You were a straight-up college student. You were adult enough to know what love is.
Mm-hmm. Did it end approximately 6 weeks after camp ended? Yeah, it did. And that's because we weren't with each other every day anymore.
And also, I think there was like a significant distance playing.
Yeah, he may have been physically located in South Africa, and I may have been physically located in North Carolina in the United States. But that's irrelevant because love transcends boundaries. I do actually have two friends, shout out if you're listening. Except it didn't. So that's why I'm saying it wasn't real love. Sorry, Kyle. If Kyle's listening, Kyle, you're a sweetheart, friends for life. I do have two friends who met at that same camp, who one of them moved back home to New Zealand and one of them stayed here in the United States, and they dated intercontinentally across so many time zones. How many time zones is that?
A lot.
Yeah, a lot. That's the scientific measurement of them for multiple years. And then they got married and now I think they have a baby. So like, keep the dream alive, my friends.
Yes. Are those the same friends that you were showing around DC when the infamous earthquake of 2011 hit?
One of them was there, yeah.
And you guys would count yourself as survivors of that incident?
Both of the two guy, I was with two of my guy friends, both of them are from New Zealand. And we were in downtown DC and there was like the biggest earthquake that DC had seen in 20 years or whatever. We didn't even feel anything. We just heard a slight rumble. And the whole city freaked out. Everybody had to be evacuated. There was like scaffolding up on the National Monument for what? I don't know, 4 years, something insane. And both of these two men were just standing there watching federal government workers like stream out of these buildings all panicked. And they were both like, I've had my house crumble around me while I stood in a doorway before. What's going on? And I was like, it's just like, it's a special little earthquake for us. It's like a very unique special moment.
And, you know, to bring this up to a topical conversation point right now, if anyone is aware of the I-95 backup from the snowstorm that happened in early January, you know that DC cannot handle any sort of weather whatsoever.
Not a single lick. Yeah, everybody on Twitter I saw was making fun today of the fact that all the grocery stores were sold out. Mm-hmm. And then it ended up being like a quarter of an inch of snow on the ground. But I get it, because if it's anything more than that, like it was when that big snowstorm that you mentioned hit, you really are just like SOL because the city don't know what to do about it.
No. Sorry, spoiler alert to all of our international listeners and even our domestic listeners. Our nation's capital cannot handle any weather-related incident.
Yeah, but anything like, anything that's like violent, like we're really strong. So yes. Don't do anything.
But if you make it rain, so help us God, we will crumble. Oh boy.
That's not a suggestion, foreign agents. Domestic agents. Just anyway, let's change the subject before we give people a blueprint on how to attack the Capitol. Speaking of nothing we've been talking about, let's talk about these two movies.
You've changed. This is the new year, new you, where your transitions have gotten lazier.
Oh my God, such a good point. Now I'm ashamed of myself. I have to make them better. I have to make them bigger and better. We have to have fireworks. Okay, so let's see. How can we connect these? I said I don't want to give blueprints, a blueprint of an attack plan on the nation's capital. The first movie that we're talking about today is about real estate developers. Boom, nailed it. Transition. Why don't you tell us about that movie? 2 weeks notice!
So our first movie today is 2 weeks notice. It is a Sandra Bullock, Hugh Grant starring rom-com created in the year 2002. It features a storyline of an
all you need to know.
An in-work lawyer who's working for legal aid. I thought she was out of work for a little while. Fighting for the community center that is about to be torn down and runs into big hotshot developer, a Trump-esque character, which like did not age well, mind you.
Gross.
And his name was Wade. I don't even know his first name. Something Wade, played by the dashing womanizer Hugh Grant.
The only reason that he avoids being like a true Trump character is because he's played by the affable Hugh Grant.
Yeah, and he's actually like not a terrible person.
Well, up for debate.
Better than Trump. And that's a take I stand by.
That's a good take.
And Hugh Grant hires Sandra Bullock on the spot because he needs a new lawyer, because he keeps hiring the hot ladies. And she agrees to it because he promises that she will get to send charity to, or send funding to the charities of her wishes. And she also gets to keep the community center. So she thinks that working for the Wade Corporation is better than working against the Wade Corporation. So she works there, and then she quickly becomes his, you know, right-hand woman. And he seems to be paralyzed by indecision about, like, every decision in his life, basically. And she becomes his reason, voice of reason, his confidant for everything in his life, personal and professional, not just a lawyer. So then he becomes very needy, relies on her for everything. And about a year into her position, she cannot take it anymore. She quits and she puts in her, drum roll please, her 2 weeks notice.
Wow. That's the name of the film.
That is. So at first Hugh Grant cannot fathom the idea of Sandra Bullock leaving him behind. So he tries to get her to stay by sabotaging her other interviews at other law firms. And then he finally agrees if she promises to stay until she finds a replacement. So then this hotshot redhead comes onto the scene, who I've seen her in a bunch of Hallmark movies. So she's living it up in the rom-com world. She's the real deal. She comes in, she's all flirty with Hugh Grant, and Sandra Bullock is not liking it. So then she starts to get very competitive with him, and then they somehow fall in love in between all of that. She quits.
The somehow is an important point that I'm sure we'll talk about later.
She moves to legal aid, and Hugh Grant comes running to her side to declare his love.
And did he quit?
I had no
money, right?
His brother, I thought he made Hugh Grant's brother, at the
end about, like, how he had no money anymore.
Seems to own the company, and he seems to be an ass, and that's all we know.
Yeah. I think that Hugh Grant quits and, like, moves in with Lucy, Sandra Bullock's character, and doesn't have any money anymore because he got his stock options taken away. But we're uncertain.
We don't know.
The second movie that we looked at today was the 2009 film 500 Days of Summer, starring Joseph Gordon-Levitt as Tom Hansen, the main character, and Zooey Deschanel as Summer, the summer from the title, the titular summer, as his love interest. There's also a hot appearance from Chloe Grace Moretz, who, if you remember, during the 2009-ish time was playing everyone's kid sister in everything. And then the dude from Criminal Minds. I don't know what else he's in. So it's fairly a typical, like, young coming of age story. The main thing that differentiates it is that, like, artistically, it's kind of interesting. So it doesn't follow a linear timeline. It jumps back and forth during the 500 days of Tom both meeting, getting together with, being broken up with, and then trying to get over Summer. That takes up about 500 days before he meets the new love of his life. So Summer is very, like, 2009 Zooey Deschanel. She's very interesting and unique and beautiful, obviously. But she's and very aloof. Afraid of commitment. And aloof. She's very afraid of commitment because her parents got divorced. Tom, on the other hand, is kind of stuck in his life. He's been at the same job that he doesn't like very much. He wanted to be an architect, but now he's a greeting card reader. He's been there for a few years. And I think he kind of decides that Zooey Deschanel's character is, like, the next step in his life, gets really wrapped up in her. Even though she says she doesn't want a relationship, he places a lot of expectations on it and has a very hard time getting over her. I think that they were only together for about a year. And obviously, then there's 500 days. So there's, like, a whole almost other year of him being upset about her breakup. So, yeah. And then at the very end, Tom meets another woman whose name is Autumn, which I'm sure we will discuss when we get into voting. That is 500 Days of Summer.
All right.
All right.
Let's do this.
So now that we got that all sorted, let's get these votes all sorted.
Yeah.
Ready? Sort your votes. Put them on the table. Organize them.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. If you haven't voted yet, people out there in the audience, take a minute, pause the podcast, write your votes down, see if they align. Let's get into it. First category up is, as always, physical chemistry. Now, I have strong feelings about this one, as you know. Just category in general.
Oh, yeah.
And I specifically have strong feelings about today's episode because I thought that one of these movies demonstrated absolutely no physical chemistry whatsoever. And that movie was 2 weeks' notice. So I voted for 500 Days of Summer. I think that Hugh Grant and Sandra Bullock, as always, are likable. I honestly think their star power saved this movie from what could have been a real mess with the script and some of the pacing issues that I'll talk about in a later category. But I don't think that they have any chemistry. Every time they kiss, Hugh Grant, I think, looks confused. I don't really want them to have sex with each other or ever kiss again. I kind of want them to be like a platonic roommates where they like bicker and then have like a platonic love for each other situation. So I voted for 500 Days of Summer.
Okay. And what are your arguments for 500 Days of Summer?
I think they actually have good chemistry. I think especially their first kiss in the mailroom. Joseph Gordon-Levitt especially is like very much giving that he's very into Zooey Deschanel. They have a little bit of the tension of like, will they, won't they kiss? Even when they're arguing about things like their differences in opinion about love, they still are giving each other kind of like romantic eyes over the table. I believe that they could be the kind of couple who would be into each other enough physically that they would overlook all of the ways that they are different and shouldn't be together. So I think they have good chemistry.
All right. Okay. Okay. This is going to start off on an opposite foot.
Whoa, I'm kind of mad about that. I feel so strongly about this.
I voted for 2 weeks' notice, and that's because, listen, don't hate the player, hate the game. The game that we created, so you can't hate me.
You are the game.
So, listen.
Yeah.
You know the whole time that Zooey Deschanel is checked out. And she's, I mean,
that's
she's
the whole time.
She's into it in the beginning, but you know, A, that Joseph Gordon-Levitt is way more into her than she is into him, the entirety of their relationship. And you know that she is just like kind of in it for the fling and he's in it for the love. So,
right.
That alone, I just can't, they have good chemistry, but, and we know that he loves her. But we don't know if she loves him, and I don't think she ever loved him. And there was just always a distance, even in their, like, the peak of them, there was always a distance or always him being held at arm's length versus 2 weeks' notice. Are they messy? Are they a strange pairing? Yes. But also, they've got a lot of charm. They've got a lot of gumption. And you gotta love to give it to
they've
them.
They've got a lot of charm about relationships with absolutely no sexual appeal.
I think like there was some sexual
appeal
there. Like
knick-knack at your grandma's house. You're like, it's got a lot of charm.
I think there was some sexual appeal there and not a knick-knack charm to it.
Did you see the scene where she kissed him drunk? His face was literally like, ooh.
Because he was confused. Because she kissed him unexpectedly.
Yeah, so he's not going to have any, like, I'm confused, but this is nice. It's just, I'm confused. Why is there a squid on my face?
I more so am voting on the scene when they're at the children's benefit and they are making some, like, sex eyes across the hall. And by across the hall, I mean across that bridge they were on. They were on some barge. They were... There's eyes.
I think if the most sexuality you have is when you're separated by a river, basically just looking at a camera across a river, then there are problems.
Is this because you know from experience being separated by an ocean?
Yeah, it's very sensual to be separated by an ocean, okay? It's an extremely sensual experience, but you have to ask yourself, am I attracted to this other person or am I attracted to the ocean?
And for you, it was the ocean.
And obviously, it was the ocean. Just like I think it was for Sandra Bullock and Hugh Grant.
Listen, when she was in that dress and she put away those awful bangs, and he was like, she
gotta go.
I want the world to know, I'm not anti-bangs.
You may be.
As seen in the most recent episodes. I'm just anti-early 2000s bangs. Mm-hmm. Zooey Deschanel, on the other hand, had great bangs.
Great, spectacular bangs.
Yes.
She should always have bangs.
She should always have bangs. Mm-hmm. Sandra Bullock should not have bangs. And I will take that opinion to the grave. I will always hold that opinion. No one can
dissuade
me.
Yeah, I'm upset with recent stylists, because I feel like movies have been putting her in bangs more often mm-hmm. as she's gotten older. And I think it's because they're like trying to hide the fact that she's older or something, but like, just stop it.
Yeah.
Okay. You actually make a very good point that hadn't occurred to me
oh.
about 500 Days of Summer. I think that's a really good point. To be clear, I'm not changing my vote.
She would never.
I put a lot of thought into these, aka I went with my gut. My gut was right.
Also, I think I didn't really you are think about that. Allergic to agreeing with me. It's just like every time you want to say like, I agree, you just are like, ooh, like I agree. Listen, it's a good point.
Sorry, got stuck in my throat. No, because when you agree with me, I love that. I'm allergic to you swaying my opinion. It's because I have thought of everything there is to think about. I've considered every factor and I've come to the right decision. No, this is a factor that I didn't consider, is that that's a very good point that like 2 weeks notice is really about Sandra Bullock and Hugh Grant falling in love.
Mm-hmm.
500 Days of Summer is really about Tom, mm-hmm. the main character. So it's like not even really, it's called a rom-com and obviously it's included in our podcast, The Rom-Com Game.
So it has gone through even, the rigorous.
Rigorous.
What am I thinking of? The rigorous vetting process.
Vetting process. Yeah. But it's not really a rom-com in terms of it's mostly about like Tom's personal growth. You know very little about Summer.
Mm-hmm.
So I think that's a good point about like how can they really have physical chemistry or it's not really physical chemistry. How can they have like romantic chemistry mm-hmm. when they're barely even a couple?
And I feel like she is kind of like, not fully, but she's kind of like the manic pixie dream girl.
Yeah.
But like a disappointing version of her in the sense that like she didn't come around and fall in love with the dorky, tall, lanky guy in the end. And she found mm-hmm. someone else who she loved. Who was pretty mainstream.
The back of her husband's neck?
That's hot.
It looked tall and handsome.
Which is not normally what the manic pixie dream girl goes for.
Yeah, well, the manic pixie dream girl is a woman who exists solely to bring like a man with feelings out of his feelings and make him happy again. Mm-hmm. And obviously that's not what happened in this movie. Although yeah. I do think you're right that she has some of the traits of that. Like she is a woman written by a man.
Yes.
In my opinion.
Mm-hmm.
I have not met very many women in real life like her.
No.
No. So that's a valid point. I'm not changing my vote, but I will give you props for that.
Oh my God. Are we having mm-hmm. character growth?
Oh my God. Is this physical chemistry?
No.
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 That was earlier.
Let me remind you, ladies and gentlemen, that Ruth is married with a husband.
Oh, hell yeah. Where that guy at? Where he at? I haven't seen him in days. Okay, so you're right. We're starting off at odds.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Which we hate to do, but you know what? The listeners love it. Mm. You all thrive on drama.
We kind of thrive on it, too.
Honestly, true. Get at least 3 times more powerful when there's drama.
Yeah. That's our energy source.
Drama really stresses me out. And that is a thing only said by people who love drama.
And since we're still not back in the office,
yeah,
we don't have like the day-to-day work drama of like, did you see what Susan wrote in her email? I live for that.
Oh no, that's your especial favorite type of communication.
Yes. Work drama
about stupid old Susan.
Yes. Work drama that I'm not directly involved in, but I've been copied on, or I'm like a third party observer, or like hearing it secondhand. I love mm-hmm. it. Love.
Yeah, you don't want to be the perpetuator or the victim of the drama.
No.
No, no, no. See, I will admit that I get very bored with drama in the workplace. We are different there.
No.
But I like bringing it to you because then you get excited.
It sustains me. It fulfills me.
It's keeping you young. Look at your skin. You're glowing.
Oh, I know. Just because I'm back at work now after Christmas break and things are not pumping up. There's no new drama.
Things are heating up. Oh, the things are cooling down. Okay, well, let's heat things up over here by moving on to our next category, which is originality and or storyline. Mm-hmm. Would you like to go first this time?
I would. And no. I went with 500 Days of Summer. And that's mm-hmm. mainly because of the structure of the story. It was a very quirky film. It was unique. You know, it's not I haven't seen a film like this often. And, you know, even with the jumping storyline, I was never confused. I was never like, right. wait, when did this happen? Or like, wait, like, and like, even though they use like day numbers instead of like, oh, like 6 months in, or like, even though they use like the days and you're just like 200 day 258 and you're like, okay, how, like, even though you don't really fully understand the concept of like, how long is that immediately? It makes sense. And yeah. you get to see, and they just tie things in so well. Like, there's a scene where Tom is talking about all the things he loves about Summer. He loves her laugh. He loves her birthmark. He loves her knees. And he, like, it's like making a list of like why he loves it. And then like five scenes later, he's like, I hate her bangs. I hate her birthmark. I hate her knees. And it's just like, you could see the progression of it, but it's like so quick and witty. And it's so smart how they do things too. And also,
yeah,
a special shout out. I'm sorry if I'm going to steal your thunder. A special shout out to the soundtrack. That really makes the film.
It's such a good soundtrack. And I remember I told you while we were watching it that I was like, oh my gosh, this is bringing back so many memories. I was obsessed with the soundtrack. Mm-hmm. I love the fact that a couple times they used, you mentioned it because we watched it together, but didn't, don't worry.
Spoilers.
We had thoughts, we just wrote them down.
This is the first time we've done this. So if there is a difference in the quality of this episode, do not tell us.
Keep it to yourselves, you fools. New Year, same podcast. you mentioned it though when we were watching that you were like, isn't this like the third time this song has played?
Mm-hmm.
They used a couple of the songs over and over again, and I think it kind of emphasized that it was like this repetition or a moment that was coming up again, even though like it had been a time jump. So I thought that was really good. I also liked the way that they used little subtle things like colors. You know, like they had a color film on when they were happy together or when Tom was depressed, but it was not, it was subtle.
Mm-hmm.
It was still just like a fun way to, like you said, keep track of it.
Yeah. And I think the repetition of the music also kind of went hand in hand with, and this is mentioned at the end of the film, when Chloe kid's sister, when she was like, you're only remembering the good stuff about Summer. You're not letting your memories include the bad stuff. And I think that kind of like leads to the repetition of like the same happy memories are repeating. And that's why he's so in love with her. And he didn't let himself see the bad memories.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, I voted for 500 Days of Summer for exactly the same reason.
Wow.
I just think I really love the structure of it in terms of originality. It's a, it's not anything in, like, the plot isn't anything crazy that we've never seen before. It's like two people who aren't really suited for each other meet, have a brief fling, break up, and one of them is like pretty devastated and the other one moves on with their life. You know, we've seen that before, but the way that it's set up, I also think it's a pretty realistic depiction of like a relationship that wasn't meant to be in a breakup. I do have some problems with the storyline. Actually, really, it's not really with the storyline, but with like the story. Like I mentioned earlier, I know that we looked it up and the man who wrote it said that it was, you know, partially based on his own life experience with a relationship that was similar to this. And I think that kind of comes across in that the movie is really about the main character, Tom, and like his love interest, Summer, doesn't really become a real person. And I think that's to the movie's detriment. I think it would have been more interesting and also more impactful if we understood, besides just my parents got divorced, like why she's so afraid of commitment, why she's so hesitant about it, and what eventually wins her over about this other guy that she marries. But I just think it's a better structured movie.
Mm-hmm.
2 weeks notice. If the movie basically skips over the part where they fall in love.
Yeah.
Like, you assume that they're falling in love with each other kind of during the time that she's there. They're becoming really dependent on each other. But you don't see any of that. It's just like she starts, and then she's about to quit. And then the movie tries to cram all of this plot development in the 2 weeks when she's leaving. I thought it was kind of a structural issue. So, yeah, I also voted for 500 Days of Summer.
Yeah. Agreed.
Yeah. Cool beans.
But I will say that 2 weeks notice, you know, a plot point that they had that I don't normally see in movies, and, like, not to give it praise for this, but they don't normally have the man be like the needy codependent one who can't, and like this is like even when they were platonic, like I thought that was an interesting storyline of like, granted it's like led to the reason of why she quit the job, but he was so like needy and dependent on her, and I feel like that's not a common trope that we see.
No, which is funny because I actually think it's very realistic. Like the whole, yeah, like incompetent man who's, mm-hmm, very charming teams up with a highly competent woman who's incredibly stressed out. Like, I've seen that dynamic many times in real life.
Yeah.
But no, it's not often shown in movies.
Yeah, because usually, especially like in the early 2000s, they want to be like the Matthew McConaughey, like the strong, buff, leading man. And like Hugh Grant's just like, help me.
What tie do I wear? And also, like, you do get a little bit of the... He says a line in the movie where he's like, why don't you... She's complaining about how he always calls her after hours. Mm-hmm. And he's like, why don't you turn your phone off? And she has no response for that. And he's like, it's because you like the drama. You like being needed.
Yeah.
So I do think it's realistic that, like, this woman who really likes to be bossy and likes to be in emergencies mm-hmm. and likes being needed would get together with this guy who, like, doesn't really know what to do with this life.
Yeah.
Yeah. So... But they're designed, that story is designed to have two characters who are well suited for each other, whereas 500 Days of Summer is designed to have two characters mm-hmm. who aren't, which I think they do a good job of.
Yeah.
I just am disappointed that Summer isn't really a person.
No.
It's disappointing.
Which leads us directly
about this more.
Oh, into character development.
Yes, it does. I actually even, it kind of leads, you know, it's not surprising based on what I was just saying, but I voted for 2 weeks' notice. Mm-hmm. In character development, mostly because as a woman, I'll be honest, I often get frustrated in rom-coms that are written and directed by men. And I think it's because they, in my opinion, often focus on the male character to the detriment of the female character, or they're trying so hard to make a rom-com appealing to men who they know aren't like its standard target demographic that they make it kind of like unappealing to women. So I think they used the word skank like 10 times mm-hmm. in this movie. And it was supposed to be as a joke. So I ended up not really liking Tom at the end. And I didn't know Summer. Mm-hmm. So I was like, not sure what I'm getting out of this from a character perspective.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. And like, I have no problem with a rom-com that's male focused or male centered, but they also need to have a fully fledged character the female side. And you know, that happens in the opposite case too, where a female centered rom-com, sometimes the male character can be more one dimensional. But this was
not very often though. Like if you this think was more about it.
Yeah. This was definitely.
Like most of the time rom-coms understand that you're living out the fantasy of watching two people fall in love, not one person fall in love mm-hmm. with like a cardboard cutout, you know?
Yeah.
So there certainly are ones I can think of, but in my opinion, at least most of the time when you're thinking about female-led rom-coms, if the man is underdeveloped as a character, the woman probably is too, and it's probably just a badly written movie.
Yeah. Yeah, this one was definitely, like, I think in ways that they were trying to make her interesting and aloof, they also just made her super boring. Like, when, you know, Tom was like, oh, why'd you move here from Michigan? This movie set in L.A. He's like, why'd you move here? And she was like, I was bored.
And he's like, wow, so mysterious.
Yeah, she's trying to be mysterious, but really we're just like, she's kind of boring herself.
Right. I'm bored.
Yeah, I'm bored of your answer.
Yeah, so whereas 2 weeks' notice, even though I do think that they're a weird pairing, I'm really attached to both of the characters mm-hmm. by the end. I want them to be happy. And I also think they've both grown in ways that are like productive, even though they seemed kind of miserable together. I can see how once they're not working together, they could be good like in life.
Yeah. There's a clear progression of their character development throughout the film. You see it from beginning to end. And even just like as individuals, they're fully fleshed out characters. Like, you know, Sandra Bullock, it's very supportive of like social causes, and that's like her passion and what mm-hmm. she wants to make her whole career out of. And at first Hugh Grant's all about money and womanizing, but then, you know, he comes to depend on, you know, a strong independent woman like Sandra Bullock and realizes that's actually what he needs in life. And so that is, yeah, they simply have character development, which was not apparent in 500 Days of Summer. And the fact that like she, like, neither character are likable at the end of 500 Days of Summer, like, and the point I made is, like, you know, when we were younger, probably we were more anti-Summer of, like, she led him on, which she did. She did lead him on. But at the same time, she was also very clear about what she's not looking for, and Tom chose to ignore that. So their relationship was at the fault of both of them. She shouldn't have, you know, she should have ended it sooner, and he shouldn't have, you know, kind of put this vision or these expectations on her that were not realistic, or kind of fantasize about a life that was never going to happen and then be disappointed that they didn't happen, because she's been open about that the whole time. But still, at the end, you don't like them because he's just kind of become miserable after she ended things with him. And she, you know, never tells him. They go to a wedding together. They run into each other on a train. They're going up to a wedding and they having seemed to have like a really nice night together. They dance all night. They hang out all night. They get along and she invites him to a party that she's hosting. And then when he gets to the party a couple weeks later, it turns out she's engaged and he had no idea. And it's just like things like that of like, all right, you knew. Like you.
That's the right.
Yeah.
That's once again, that's the thing about it being a movie written by a man is maybe the men were thinking, oh, this is just innocent. And the woman didn't realize what he was thinking. Mm-hmm. But as women watching it, you and I both had the reaction of like, okay, she knew exactly what she was doing. Like any woman in real life who understands social cues would see that he was flirting with you, mm-hmm. and that he was interested in you and thought that this was something, and you would try to distance yourself because you're in a relationship.
Yeah.
And so that's another thing that's like, is this because men don't, was that written that way to make her like kind of a bitch, mm-hmm. or was it written that way because men don't really understand women? Mm-hmm. I don't know. But those kinds of questions are not great.
Yeah.
Yeah. And Tom does have character development.
So he does.
As the main character, he grows and moves. But just, you know, meh.
Yeah, he's definitely stuck in a rut in the beginning and the middle, mm-hmm. of the movie. And, you know, even though his relationship with Summer is ill-fated, she kind of inspires him to quit his job at the greeting card company and to, you know, fulfill his dream as an architect. So he does have some growth.
And I do a lot of the ideas that they have for the story. I do like, I like the idea that meeting this woman who you think is going to be your whole life and then you find out that she's not could inspire you to like go get a life out of romance, mm-hmm. you know, outside of a romantic relationship if you're like really obsessed with them like Tom is. And I also really like the idea that someone like Summer, who's been terrified of commitment, can meet somebody who makes her like consider it for the first time, but it's not the right fit. Mm-hmm. And that makes her like open and ready to then really commit to the next person that she meets who is the right fit. I like that idea. I just don't think the execution was the best.
No, it wasn't apparent or clear. And, you know, it was kind of obvious that the writer was writing from personal experience because
right.
it was definitely a little bit of like he wanted to show Summer as like the true bitch or the true villain right. when really they both kind of just came off in bad ways.
Yeah. I agree with that. Yeah. Okay. So next up we have social awareness. Now, once again, a weird one. Whenever we watch movies about straight white people, we're always just like, who knows? It's a rom-com. But did you have any strong opinions about this one?
I'm going to let you go first.
Okay. I voted for 2 weeks' notice, mostly for what we've been talking about, mm-hmm. which is like, it's 2009. The movie feels very, even though I really enjoy it still, it feels very 2009 when you watch it. Like the language they use to describe women, the fact that like, the good female character in the movie is his younger sister, who has a very, like, toughen up pussy. Like, she's been almost, like, masculinized even as a little kid, you know? And things like being over-emotional or being really focused on feelings are kind of shown to be, like, flaws of Tom's. And those are obviously more, like, feminine-coded virtues. So I just think the movie is a little bit, like, it doesn't paint women in the best light. Mm-hmm. Whereas 2 weeks' notice is a movie about people. I still think that it makes some big mistakes. I think the way they treat the character June is really icky. Like they treat her as some sort of like man eater, mm-hmm. who's going to like sleep her way into the role, when you and I both know that women are much more likely to be like taken advantage of by their mm-hmm. male bosses, not be the ones taking advantage.
Yes.
And I don't like that Sandra Bullock immediately was like, she's another pretty woman. I hate her. Mm-hmm. So that's all disappointing. But I still think that 2 weeks' notice has like better female characters in it. I love Sandra Bullock's mom. I like that they show Penny again at the end of the movie.
Yes.
She wasn't just a one-off joke. So yeah, I voted for 2 weeks' notice.
So I didn't have a vote yet.
Oh, okay. What'd you think about my argument?
I think your argument was well-formed.
Okay. Thank you. Yeah. Just like my body.
I'm pleading the fifth on that one. Using my lawyer lingo that I'm not
Hell
a lawyer.
Hell yeah. She's in the courtroom of romance.
Yeah, I'm not a lawyer. I've never taken a law class. Do not come to me for legal
Please
advice.
Please direct your legal questions to 1-800-LOVE-DOCTOR. Kristen will answer and provide you free legal advice.
Then why is it love doctor instead of love lawyer?
Because you're not a lawyer, but you are a doctor.
This is a tough one because yeah. they're both problematic towards yeah. women.
Yeah. Did you have the same problem with the, because you and I watched 2 weeks notice separately. Did you have the same problem with the June character that I did?
Yes. Yes. Mm. I definitely felt like she came in, at least like how she was written, that she came in like hot and heavy right off right. the bat. And that just doesn't feel realistic. And that doesn't.
It doesn't.
No.
No.
Like,
I can yeah. understand that some girl at the bar would be like, oh, a rich guy, I want to pick him up. But the yeah. idea that a Harvard educated lawyer would come in to be chief counsel and her philosophy is like, I'm going to sleep with my boss right away.
Exactly. No. It's yeah, that just doesn't feel realistic at all. Right. So they definitely did her dirty. And like Sandra Bullock all of a sudden falling in love with him. It just like, not that this is social awareness, but it just like came out of nowhere. Like all of a sudden she was like twirling her hair and be like, we're going to the Mets game tonight, right? And I was like, where the hell did this come from?
Once again, it's because I think the falling in love happened off screen.
Yeah.
It's like a big issue.
Yeah, this has nothing to do with social awareness. I got off track.
But when you don't have a strong opinion about social awareness, it's really easy to just give your vote to one of the movies because of vibes.
Both of these have terrible vibes.
True. In this category.
I yeah. really, like, I still, I don't know. Who do you want me to vote for?
Who I voted for. 2 weeks notice.
All right. I guess.
Because she still got to be a full person at least. And yeah. she was a career lady.
She was a career lady. She was a headstrong lawyer.
Mm-hmm. Hashtag girl boss.
Yeah.
Yeah.
All right. I guess I'll give it to 2 weeks notice. This is okay. super apathetic.
The enthusiasm is overwhelming. All right. That brings us to our final category. I'm very interested to see what you vote for here because I've rewatched both of these movies multiple times, like probably since I was in high school. But neither of them are on my personal mm-hmm. like rainy day, time to have a fun time checklist.
I agree.
Yeah. So what'd you end up voting for?
So here's the thing. I also
not again.
So my opinions have kind of changed. I've grown. I've matured.
Like a tree in the forest. New year, new you, maybe.
Maybe. So when I was a kid, I hated 2 weeks notice. I thought it was so boring. I was just like, bleh. And not that I loved 500 Days of Summer, but like we probably saw it in college and we were like, ooh, artsy. We're college students. It was students.
Very
like,
yes, indie hipster vibes, which we were very into.
It definitely fit in like, it was a very 2009 vibe.
That's true.
So now rewatching these movies for the pod, I think I find myself liking 2 weeks notice better. Not better, but I think like on a rainy snow day, which we've been having, topical again.
Topical. You come here for your daily dose of news and weather.
I don't know. 500 Days of Summer just kind of left me feeling like bummed at the end versus like 2 weeks notice, like, ugh. That also had a terrible ending too of like her ordering Chinese food and him like walking down the apartment.
I like that ending, actually. I think it's cute.
It's a cute ending. Oh, so much better than the ending of 500 Days of Summer. We've got to talk about that.
Oh, man. They... Honestly, that moment could have been cute if they had cast a different actress, because I think they just cast a model, someone who's, like, really beautiful, and she looks gorgeous. Way out of this league.
Yeah.
Like, she just looks ridiculously too pretty for him. And then also the fact that her name is Autumn.
Yeah. So for any of you who've not seen it, he's like interviewing for an architect job, which also he's going up against her for a job. Like that's not, and like if one of them gets it, it's not like that's terrible. But so they're waiting and they realize that they both love the same park. And she's like, I've seen you there before. Which, like, so unrealistic. Who remembers who they see in a park? In a city.
Especially not, I think Joseph Gordon-Levitt is cute. But I don't think he's, like,
memorable.
I don't know that he's the type of guy that people would be like, I've seen him before.
Yeah.
Followed him with my eyes.
And maybe I just don't pay enough attention to my surroundings, which is very plausible.
It's probably true.
But, like, I don't know if I can remember anyone I've seen on the street.
I guess if you went to the same place every time, like, if you went to the same park every week, and every week you went, and, like, every third time you went there, the same person was there, and that park didn't seem very crowded.
No.
Like, maybe? But it is a coincidence, which I don't mind. Honestly, you know, now that I'm talking about it, I think my biggest problem is her name.
Yeah, no, that's definitely the worst part. So they're like, have some chat. They're hitting it up. And then he goes in for his interview. And then he comes out and he's like, can I take you to coffee after this? And she's like, no, I have plans. And then 10 seconds later, she's like, okay, I'll go. And then he's like, oh, my name is Tom. And she goes, my name's Autumn. And I was like, terrible.
I'm trying to think of what's something that could have, like, alluded. Let's do a quick brainstorm sesh. What's something that could have alluded to fall, like a name that isn't as disgustingly on the nose as Autumn?
September.
Is that a name?
No.
No, it's not. It's like, I've never met a girl named September.
I was just thinking because of, like, August. Some people are named August.
Maybe we could have done, like, amber, you know, like that color. Yeah. It's kind of autumnal.
Leaves.
Nope. See, you're not taking this seriously. I can tell because I'm a genius. I can tell when people aren't taking it seriously. We'll cut this out. Apparently the word Daphne means laurel tree. So that could have been like a fun little Easter egg for your wordsmiths in the audience.
No, the generic audience member, your average moviegoer, was not going to pick it up. They had to make it like smack your head into it, like had to make it very obvious that it's an Autumn reference.
Apparently, according to this thing, some people call their girls Maple.
Yeah.
You ever met a Maple?
Met a Mabel.
That's not Maple.
It's not Maple. It's That's Mabel.
A different name.
It's very close.
Okay, to be fair, I have now looked through three lists of fall-inspired names, and there aren't really any that are more subtle than Autumn, but I still don't like it.
Yeah, it's a terrible ending. Yeah. 2 weeks' notice is cuter. I gotta vote. I guess I'm gonna vote for 2 weeks' notice.
I went the opposite direction.
Okay. Which is fair.
I voted for... It is fair. Thank you. Thank you, Love Doctor. I voted for 500 Days of Summer mostly because I think... This is my opinion. I think 2 Weeks' Notice is a not very good movie that was saved by having two very fun leads. Mm-hmm. I think 500 Days of Summer is, like, from a cinematic perspective... well constructed. Mm-hmm. It's interesting to watch, you know, like really like the soundtrack. I think the movie is doing interesting things. Also both of the main characters are really good looking.
Yeah.
So I just think that I'd have more fun rewatching 500 Days of Summer, even though the ending is poopy garbage.
Yeah. Yeah. 500 Days of Summer is a better film, except the script, which the script is the majority of the film. But, like, everything else besides, like, the words that are spoken was better. Like, the cinematography, the music, like, the pacing, the layout, the structure. Right. That was all really great. It was the words that they spoke sucked.
I agree with that.
Yeah.
Also, fun fact, we saw that the guy who directed this movie has apparently been hired to direct a live-action adaptation of Snow White and the Seven Dwarves.
Who knew there was even going to be a live adaptation of Snow White and the Seven Dwarves?
I guess we all should have known, because Disney's out here to make that cashola.
We're going to have a poll.
Will I be seeing it? Probably not.
Which of the Disney live-action movies do you like? My answer is none.
Same. You could also ask, which of them have I seen? My answer is one, I think.
Which one did you see?
Beauty and the Beast. Beauty and the Beast. And I was so disappointed by it that I haven't
watched okay. Emma Watson, my girl, so auto-tuned.
It was painful.
Yeah.
They also did a very much like, they gave her like a girl boss feminism moment. Where they were like, the other townspeople don't like her because she reads. And that's not, in the original movie, it was like, she's always engrossed in a book. And that's why she's weird. But in this movie, it was like, she reads and she's a woman. But then they didn't have anything else to say about it besides like, sexist townspeople. Am I right? Emma Watson's a girl boss feminist. And I was like, okay. All right. Yeah. So I voted for 500 Days of Summer.
All right. Well, I have the final votes.
I actually don't know. I lost track in my mind. What do we got?
So you might be a little surprised. It was 6-4.
Okay.
2 weeks notice.
2 weeks notice. Wow. I don't know that I agree with that win.
No.
But here we are.
I don't know if I agree with it either. But you know, but
somehow we got here.
But really, it was the detriment was the lack of character development. That's what kind of sunk it for us.
Take a lesson from this 500 Days of Summer creator. You could have won in our esteemed podcast. Your movie was better in literally every other way, except for the fact that one of your two main characters wasn't a person.
Yeah.
I don't feel good about this one. I'm going to be honest with you. This is probably the first time we've ever had a win that I'm like, I'm kind of embarrassed about that.
Listen, it's too late now.
Oh, I'm not suggesting we change it. We've already announced it on this recording that we could edit if we wanted to, but we won't.
The winner is like 500 Days of Summer. Just
edit it over. And it was always that way. I'm just saying, like, do I feel confident about it? Do I want it to be on my gravestone? Surely not.
I've already sent an announcement to the masses. Ruth loves 2 weeks notice. It's her favorite film. She a Hugh Grant girl.
I do like Hugh Grant.
Yeah, he's pretty charming.
Yeah, he's pretty charming. Pretty charming. Okay. Well, we don't need them. I kind of wish we did need them. So we could change our fate, but we don't. Well, we don't need them, but let's go into our bonus categories.
All right.
So both of these movies, actually, I don't know if that's true. That's what I wrote down, but I don't know if it's true. Both of these movies feature a big focus on like the actual job itself. Mm-hmm. It's set in the workplace. So the question at hand is, would you rather have to write sad condolence grieving cards for a living or have to be insane Hugh Grant's personal assistant?
Oh, greeting cards. Absolutely. Really? Because that was straight up 9-5.
True.
And you could just...
You got to go home. Yeah. I don't know. I'm very conflicted because I think the idea of just sitting around all day thinking like what... Like that's kind of my nightmare, to sit around thinking about like what's the right thing to say to somebody who just like lost someone or like... got told they're sick or something. Thinking of the right way to say that, like, I feel like everyone hates that, and then to do it professionally sounds pretty terrible.
But you never have to see someone like receive your card. Like when you say to someone like, I'm so sorry for your loss, you're like speaking that.
Yeah.
And like you have to see them receive that news or those.
But I would have to know that out there, there were people getting that from me and I gave that to them. Mm-hmm. And I think I could handle Hugh Grant. So I'm going to go 2 weeks notice.
Okay, that was surprising.
Yeah, it was.
I don't know if you could handle Hugh Grant.
Sandra Bullock never turned her phone off.
Yeah.
Can you imagine if my boss called me during your wedding and I was like standing up there as a bridesmaid? And I was like, excuse me, I have to answer this? Disgusting. I would never.
I would not bring my phone to that wedding.
No. Your phone goes in the river where it belongs. All right, what do you got? What do you got?
All right. Would you rather get stuck in an IKEA where Tom and Summer go shopping? This is not just a random question.
Okay.
Or... For the audience, if they're just like, why is this girl finally bringing up IKEA? Or on the freeway.
When I'm in the IKEA, do I have to watch Tom and Summer doing their like cringy couples moment?
Yes.
Ew.
You have to watch the cringy moment of Sandra Bullock holding in her poop.
I'm going to go highway.
Oh.
You would think IKEA because they're like places to sit and stuff. Mm-hmm. But I think if I saw... right. Like, I get why you think that. But when I'm watching Sandra Bullock holding her poop, I think it would be kind of like we would make eye contact and we would establish a camaraderie, her and I. You know, I'd be like, I get it. I get what you're going through. I admire it. And I support you. Mm-hmm. And I would feel kind of like a kinship, like we're in this together sort of thing. If I was in IKEA watching this happen and it was like two 22-year-olds playing house together, thinking like they're the most romantic people in the world. Mm-hmm. It's fine to watch it in a movie, but I think if I saw it in real life, I would vomit, and then I would have to buy everything that I vomited on, and that's just too expensive.
Yeah.
So I'm going to go Interstate.
Yeah. I would choose IKEA, because mm-hmm. IKEA has so many accoutrements that you can
get. So many accoutrements. And meatballs.
And meatballs. So you can distract yourself very easily with both. Versus the highway with, like, seeing someone who's, like, got a poop. Like, we all know. We all know that feeling. We all know mm-hmm. that struggle.
Right. And I can relate to it.
Yeah. Versus IKEA, it's just like a smorgasbord. Another international word. Boom, boom, boom. That one was Swedish.
She's on a roll. It is new year, new you.
Trying to appeal to the Swedes in the audience or anyone else who loves IKEA.
Everyone.
Yeah.
So I also know that you just like really, really love like personal, like public displays of affection, public displays of romance.
Love to see it. Love to experience it. Love it all around.
Love to be part of it. I
don't get grossed out by it. I don't cringe. I don't get disgusted by the discussion or seeing love on display. No.
Why would you?
No.
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 So I get that for you.
Mm-hmm. Which is weird that I love rom-coms then if I am weird about. Yeah.
But like I said, things are different in a movie than in real life. Like, you're watched that scene in the movie and I thought it was kind of cute. And I was like, yeah, that's what people feel like when they're in love. They feel like they're the special ones in the spotlight at IKEA. But if I saw it at IKEA, I'd be like, calm the hell down.
Yeah.
You're in IKEA looking for an end table just like the rest of us.
One time in grad school, I was in the library and it was like this like little like old room. And I was like doing work in there. And there was this like guy and girl. Oh, my God. They were just like. Not like full on making out, but they were just like on the verge of full on making out for like hours. Ew. And they were like right in my eyesight. And they like, the girl was like sitting on the guy's lap and they were like kissing, but like wanting to make out more, but then like pulling away like right at that moment. And I was just like,
they were like teasing each other. Basically.
Yes.
It's disgusting.
I was trying to write a paper in education policy and I have to watch you guys almost make out. Nothing is less sexy than education policy.
No, gracias. But you chose that. You chose that thing in IKEA.
In the library.
I think education policy is extremely sexy.
It is super sexy.
God.
You know like what is the best profession for finding romance with men? Straight men? Straight single men?
What could
education.
It be? Especially if you work in the nonprofit sector.
Yes. An education nonprofit. Even better.
You are swimming in man butts. Covered in them.
Yes, so many.
All right, well, that brings us to the end of our episode. Somehow, I'm assuming it's the listener's fault. They manifested this. I think our listener base must be made of people who really love 2 weeks' notice. Congratulations if you manifested this. 2 weeks' notice is the winner and is continuing on.
How dare you blame our audience when it is 100% our fault? And if I may place the blame on you, if you accept it, you did convince me to vote for 2 weeks' notice for social awareness.
That's correct. But I'm looking back at my voting list and I did vote for 500 Days of Summer more than 2 weeks' notice. Mm-hmm. So in the end, it is still on you. You have to live with that.
Wow. Kind of sounds like you're not happy that they're starting out 2022 on Spectacular.
Okay, that's true. That came off bad. Congratulations to you. You're starting 2022 off on a great foot. And I think if you haven't found true love already, it's coming for you, baby. So get ready.
Does that include me since I voted for 2 weeks' notice?
Actually, yeah, I think it does.
Okay.
1-800-LOVE-DOCTOR. call her with your legal questions or if you have a blind date to set her up on.
No, both of those, a hard pass.
Give her a call. Give her a call. She's sitting by the phone and waiting for your call. Love, Doctor. If you want to hear some more sweet, sweet tunes that I make up or get some more free legal advice from Kristen, please subscribe or follow our podcast on whatever platform you use to listen. Our next episode will be coming out in 2 weeks. We are deep into season 2 now and so excited to keep on making some controversial decisions like we made today. Kristen, what else do the listeners need to know?
You can find us on Instagram. You could find us on Facebook. And one day you could find us on TikTok. We don't know when that day is yet.
We don't know. It's really out of our hands. And by that, I mean, it's really in my hands. But it's out of our hands, if you think about it. Thanks again, as always, for joining us today. And make sure to take this as your 2 weeks' notice to listen.